Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hi, and welcome to North Florida neighborhood. I'm Colby. And North Florida neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us. And today we have the privilege of chatting with Kathleen Miner, the founder of Hopeful Handbags. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
So cool. And Kathleen, Hopeful Handbags, just that name sounds so fun and so light and fluffy, but there's so much depth behind just that name. So can you kind of unravel who Hopeful Handbags is?
Yes, definitely. So Hopeful Handbags, first, it's Hopeful, right? And two L's on full, like full of hope. So Hopeful Handbags, they are handbags full of hope. And basically what we do, the base of what we do, I should say, is we have once-loved handbags that are, so they're gently used, but we call them once-loved handbags that are donated by the community. And then we fill them with necessities and things to make women feel amazing. And we donate them to women getting back on their feet from domestic violence and other challenging situations.
Okay, this is brilliant. Just the fact that full of hope, and then the fact that you call these used handbags once loved. There's so many little like tunnels of information that I feel like you could just help us digest.
Mm-hmm.
So where did this idea even come from? Because it is so different.
Yeah, well, it is. But, you know, there's actually, so a friend of mine actually, was doing this over in the UK with sanitary products with homeless women out on the street. Mm. And I've always loved handbags. Like, since people are shoe people, I've always been a handbag person. It doesn't even matter what kind of handbag it is. I mean, not designer, not, and just whatever it is that appeals to me, I've loved. That thought process was in my head. And over here, when I did some research, well, I'll tell you why I got to the domestic violence in a minute, because that's really my passion. And that was something that wasn't as conducive here. And so for me, my grandmother, my mom's mom, my mom grew up in a home that was full of violence.
Mm.
And my grandfather would abuse the children and my grandmother. And there were 11 kids. And
oh,
of course,
gosh.
Some have passed away since then. So my mom had me when she was very young. She was 15 and my dad was 17. And we lived across the street from them when I was little. And I remember my mom running across the street to break up the chaos and sending her younger siblings across the street to my sister and I, who are about the same age. And we would just stand there at the chain link fence and wait, you know, for everything to die down. And then most of the time, we end up getting in the backseat of the car to drive my grandmother to the emergency room. And there were either, you know, broken bones, concussions.
Oh my gosh.
And it was always something. And I remember just these memories of sitting in the back seat at like 5. And thinking, why does she stay? I mean, I know this hurts. This happens all the time. And I know this isn't normal because I don't live this way across the street. So this is where my passion to help survivors of domestic violence came from, because I always wondered if my grandmother knew that there was help and support out there for free, if she would have left. And of course, this was years ago, right? I mean, my grandmother passed away 30 years ago now, and it was from a head injury. And I think you can only get beaten so many times.
Right.
And my grandfather passed away about 6 years ago, knowing what he did was wrong. But I know they're both watching down too, like, keep doing what you're doing. So that's another part of what we do, is we raise awareness and we do give that hope, help, support, and provide prevention, especially with teens and 20-somethings and really all ages. So I guess that's a long answer to how the whole idea came about. But so we were starting to fill handbags, and I decided that I was going to get certified to be a domestic violence advocate, because I still had that thing in the back of my head saying, why do they stay? Why do they stay? That question, I wanted to answer the question. And the one thing I found out was there's no one reason. There's no one reason. There's so many reasons why people stay. And the base of is control, right? It's control by the abusive partner.
now understanding that there's no one reason, what do you as an advocate do? Like, and I ask that not just with what can you do with it, but now as someone who's advocating for them and raising awareness for us, what can we do with this information?
So, and that's kind of where the handbags come in, because it's something that everybody can do. It allows also just everyone in the community to be able to come together and say, you know what, I'm helping somebody. Because everybody has a part in them that wants to help others. And sometimes we just don't know how. And so with this Once Loved handbag, if you have any, donating them, any essentials for the bags, and to know that they are going to raise hope. So the bags are to raise hope. When these bags get opened, the joy on the face, and then imagine the kids sitting next to the mom, right? And they see the mom smiling because they're pulling one thing out of the bag. And we do have essentials, but we also have the feel-good things, right? So we have some amazing businesses around in each community that will donate things like face masks, bath bombs, jewelry, like beautiful necklaces with positive quotes on them, little coin purses with positive quotes. We always just have some amazing things. So it's a win-win, right? Then the child's getting excited too, because what child do you know that doesn't want to see their mom happy? And I know I keep saying women, but I do want to say that this does happen to men sometimes. Statistically, it's women, but some of that's too because the women will come forward more. But it also happens in same-sex relationships, probably way more than anybody ever thought. But how can the community help is that way, and also raising awareness and being aware of what's around you. So, you know, if you do question something for someone, so say you have a friend, you're questioning something's going on, you don't really know how to approach it. I mean, one thing that you can do for that person is just say, hey, listen, you know, I just get this feeling that maybe you might want to talk sometime. Just know that there's no judgment if you ever want to talk about anything. And I think that's really important to let people know if you have somebody close to you that there's no judgment, because that's one of the reasons why a lot of people won't say anything, because they're afraid they'll be judged. How could you say, you know, and there's all of that. So that's what we do. We raise awareness, but we also do give help and support. We have different workshops that we put on. We're global now. So we did start in Northeast Florida in 2017 is when I started this, and we have grown because of such a need. People have reached out to us. So we are in Canada, Australia,
oh my gosh,
the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And the U.S. And also we are working with Uganda and South Africa. So the reason I'm telling you this is how you see how much of an issue this is. And even in different communities, it's handled a little bit differently. Even in the U.S., you know, some of them are more accepting of it. Some of them, meaning that the people, not the people that are being abused, they're done, they're tired of it. But it was so part of the culture, or part of their family, you know, of the things that have happened. So when we're talking to people, you know, I talk to pretty much almost everybody's one-on-one unless we're doing a workshop. So every situation is unique, and we just go from there. Like, what do you need? We'll help them find shelter. We put people in hotel rooms sometimes until we can get them into a shelter, because the first concern of anything, number one, is safety. So even though the handbags are donated to the ones getting back on their feet, people call us before they call the shelter or even the police sometimes.
Why is that? Because of
the trust.
Okay.
Well, number one, they feel like if they call, well, it's trust because they trust us that we're not going to be judgmental. Not that they are at the police station or the shelter, but we have to let them know that. You know what I mean? Sometimes. Because just imagine this, picture this, right? You have a woman that has kids, they've been being abused. They don't know how the system works. So the first thing they think of is they're going to take my kids.
Yeah.
Or they're going to come to my house. And that's not the case. So if you do call, obviously, the police department and you're calling 911 and you're in danger, yes, they're coming to your house. But if you call a shelter or you call for somebody to help you, right, come up with a safety plan or something like that, sometimes leaving right away isn't the safest thing to do. So we just have to reassure them. Sometimes it's a matter of just reassurance. Hey, listen, this is the process when you call the police. Hey, this is the process when you call the shelter. Nobody's coming out to your house, I mean, unless you say you need help. And unless there's a reason, nobody's taking your children from you. And so that's why we find that they're calling us. And of course, you know, it's not everybody calling us, but we have kind of gotten that reputation out there because we do talk to them and just reassure them of how the process works, because that's scary if you don't know what's going to happen.
Man, Kathleen, I think it's so interesting that you guys are able to give something so simple, so lighthearted, like a once-loved purse to these people who are in need, and that creates almost a gateway for you guys to help them in other areas and get out. You're doing more than just saying, hey, here's some face masks and some bath bombs, but you're creating a relationship so that they can have courage and then that foundation to leave that harmful situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's why we say raising hope to survivors. But even more importantly, opening that conversation so that those still in abusive situations feel safe and confident to reach out for help. And that is what we do. Like you said, the base is the handbag, and it just goes in so many directions from there. Like I said, the calls that come in, every situation is so unique. If they need anything they need, we're going to try to get it to them. And even if we have to, so we collaborate. I believe totally in collaborating with other nonprofits, other organizations, because we can't do this alone. I always say together we are stronger, because I'm not going to have resources for everything within my organization. So if somebody calls me and it's something we don't do, so many organizations are so great too about collaborating that we just call them and say, hey, listen, this is what we need. And if they can't do it, they know somebody that does. So we always get it done. It's just a matter of working together. And that's one thing. You know, I am located in St. Augustine, Florida. That's where our global headquarters is. And this area is absolutely amazing with collaborating. I mean, you just reach out and everybody helps everybody else to make sure that that one person, so everybody's treated like they're the most important thing ever, because they are. And then they're taken care of. And then the next one's taken care of. So we do everything as a collaboration, which is what makes everything work, especially with the community. I mean, the things that the community donates, the time that the community donates. I mean, we're always looking for volunteers, because we do go to many events, and we do that mainly to raise awareness about domestic violence and let people know that they can reach out for help.
So many things to hit on, but one, just the generosity of these different businesses and companies and nonprofits that are willing to give you jewelry, but then their time and their resources, whether that's their hours or even money. So how could somebody get involved with y'all if they're saying, hey, I have a product, or I have an excess amount of time or money? What can we do to help serve Hopeful Handbags?
Well, basically, you can get in touch with – I check the emails at info@hopefulhandbags.org. Also, go to our website, and you can click contact and just ask me any questions. And I can give you our phone number as well. That phone number, you can text or call that number. But we're always looking for businesses to collaborate with. Now, what I am looking for, I will say, especially in Duval County, Clay County, and Flagler County, is more drop-off locations. So what we have is we have businesses that are drop-off locations. And what that means is when someone in the community has a once-loved handbag and or necessities or something to donate to Hopeful Handbags, they can drop it off at that drop-off location that's closest to where they are. And what that does for the businesses is it actually brings people into their business that they may not otherwise know about them. And it also allows the business to get involved with Hopeful Handbags. And we also will have handbag drives. So whatever business is a drop-off location, once a quarter, they have a handbag drive. And it's very interesting because, you know, you can drop off all year, because we do this all year long. But when you have a handbag drive, even if it's for, okay, you know, such and such place is going to have a three-hour handbag and fill drive, people come out to bring them then. And so we are looking for some, because we're in need of some more drop-off locations, especially since some of these areas are so widespread. We just want to make it convenient for people, and also volunteers to help us to get the bags in those areas filled, because there's a process to filling them, right? We clean them. These bags are definitely filled with love and care. Oh. And I have to say, my mom, who is just amazing, We call her the bag lady. She is in charge of the bags. She's the one that trains people how to fill bags, what exactly goes in them, and everything, because there is a process, and you can tell when you open these bags that things weren't just
thrown in there.
Yeah. You know, they were hand-picked.
With love, it sounds like. And so now you kind of explained what it looks like to donate a bag, but what if someone's hearing this and they have a need for one of these once-loved bags? How can they attain that?
They can just message the same way. Message me, message Hopeful Handbags. I will get it. And I can go ahead and give you the number now, too, and it's on our website as well. But you can call or text 904-383-7158. And then typically what I'll do is set up a time for someone to chat with them for a few minutes, and then we will get them the bags. Also, if you are an organization out there that work with women getting back on their feet again, and you're like, you know what, the way that my program works, this would really help us, then let us know. Our community is so generous with handbags and fill for the handbags that we like to help anybody that we can.
I like how we kind of started off with just talking about the foundation that Hopeful Handbags was found on, and now it sounds like you guys are able to offer so many things. Like, you casually mentioned that y'all do workshops. So, Kathleen, can you tell me about that?
We do. So, we offer workshops, and so the first one would be self-perception. So self-perception is what you think and feel about yourself. And this is a workshop everybody can use, right? No matter whether you've been to domestic violence or not, at some point people have issues with their self-worth, right? They think they're not worth anything. And one thing I will say is, with domestic violence survivors, either they went into that relationship with a very low self-perception, or they gained it while they were in there. Nobody comes out feeling really great about themselves. So this is the base of everything, right? So think about it. What you think and feel about you, it dictates the chances you take, the choices you make, the relationships you stay in personally and professionally. And it dictates the ones that you leave, right? Because you're like, you know what, I'm better than this, or I don't deserve to be treated this way, or there's something better, or something like that. So that's why self-perception is so important. So that's that workshop. We also offer self-defense classes. Now, this is going to be starting here in St. John's County in January, and we're working with some other people in the Jacksonville area, because there's a somewhat of a training, even though the self-defense instructors are already trained, obviously, with self-defense. Most of them are martial artists. But there's a different way to handle somebody that has gone through domestic violence. So we have a trauma expert on our board who works with the people that are giving the class to make sure that there's some work done beforehand with that. But these self-defense classes will be open to the public as well.
Okay.
And I'm saying this because nobody's going to know who's the domestic violence survivor or who's not, unless they choose to say something. So they will be available to everyone, because this is really important. Mm-hmm. Self-defense is important. And then we have like a second level of that, which would be self-defense from weapons, because that's needed too, right? Oh, so what if somebody has a weapon? How do you get out of that? It's a little bit different than a punch and a kick,
right?
You know? So there's that. We also have, we have teamed up with Moms in Business International. And that is a group that was actually started on Facebook quite a few years ago. And they have a membership base of a private group of over 66,000 women.
Whoa.
And the founder of that organization gives some amazing, she's amazing at business. So she has courses, she has workshops, and so does the people that she has working for her. They give all this amazing content and information. And so our domestic violence survivors, we have worked out where they don't have to pay for those. So Hopeful Handbags pays for these things for them. We also have workshops in some financial literacy, things of that nature. And we have more and more coming on board all the time. So what we do is when people come to us and we think, oh my gosh, let's see if we can find a resource for that, if it's something we don't already have access to. This is what I love about being able to do things globally. And this is why not all of our resources are located directly here in Florida, because of the power of, like, just even you and I talking right here on the phone, right? And then you have Zoom, and then you have so many places that we can do this, that if we have somebody in the Caribbean that needs to join in the self-perception workshop, then they can do that. And so, and all these workshops are also available to everyone, not just domestic violence survivors. However, like we said, we give scholarships for those, for domestic violence survivors, for that. And then when the public, when they pay, when people in the community pay, that goes to Hopeful Handbags because, you know, like I said, we pay for different resources, pay for hotel rooms. There's so many things. We're also, I want to say, raising money for in Northeast Florida to have Bridge Housing and another domestic violence shelter. Bridge Housing is something we're really passionate about as well, because when the survivors get out of either staying in the shelter or living with friends and family, they want to move on to the next step. And typically they cannot rent a place.
Right.
That's because of either credit, or if they have a job, they haven't had it for very long, and their credit typically still linked to the abuser. And, you know, these days it's not as easy to rent a place. It's almost like buying a house.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of information.
The last five pay stubs and all this stuff.
Right. And so what we're working on is raising money to purchase some homes. It'll be, they will be, rent will be based on income. But the difference in this will be that it'll be a year lease. Within that year, though, it's a commitment on their part as well, because they will have to stay in the workshop. They have to, they will have to stay in the program in order to continue living there, because we're looking for sustainability here. We have somebody that will work with them to make sure that they can rent their own place after that year. Because what it end up, what's happening a lot right now is, since they can't find a place to go, they end up going back to the abuser, or they end up couch hopping even with their kids, or they end up living in their car because they can't rent a place, even a one bedroom place for them and their kids. So that's a real big passion of mine, is to see that that happens, as well as another shelter that has different types of programs available.
Obviously, we're over the phone, so you couldn't see my facial expressions, but I'm beaming just at, like I said before, the foundation of this is so pure, so simple. Handbags filled with necessities. And now it's helping people raise self-esteem, learn about financial things, and eventually giving them a bridge housing, like you said, to get their feet on the floor final. So with everything you hit on, Kathleen, I want to know, like, if you could just sum it up in a pretty little white bow, what would you state that y'all's mission is? Because you guys do so much.
Yeah, our mission is to raise hope, help, prevention, and awareness and support of domestic violence. And the awareness is a huge part. We're bringing this awareness and raising support to the survivors, but raising hope to survivors and opening that conversation so that those still in abusive situations feel safe and confident to reach out, and to allow all of that for a sustainable, happy life. Because that's really what we're all here for. We're all put on this earth to live joy, give joy, and be happy. So we should all get a chance to do that. And sometimes that takes a lot of little, some mindset work too. So we work on a lot of that.
Well, Kathleen, thank you so much just for even raising awareness to me. I don't know whether or not others were affected by this, but I know I was, and I'm going to be able to leave knowing something and having a contact for if I do run into someone who's struggling with this, I can lead them to you. So one more time, Kathleen, tell us how we can get a hold of you, how we can volunteer, how we can give, or how we can ask for help.
So the best way to do that is either email or you can text. So the email is hopefulhandbags.org, or phone number is 904-383-7158. You can text that number, or you can go to our website at hopefulhandbags.org, click contact, and ask any questions. I mean, that's what we're here for, and we will get you to the right place and find out whether it's for volunteering or whether it's that you need help yourself, or you want to find out how to be a drop-off location if you're a business, or maybe you have some donations. Just reach out and let us know, and we'll work together and make it happen.
Well, Kathleen, thank you so much for being such a great, stable neighbor in our neighborhood for us.
Well, thank you for all that you do and bringing awareness to everybody that's out there. I mean, how important is that? It's a great thing.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio.
Get out of the house and be active while knowing you're safe. The YMCA means it when they say your safety is their first priority. They're checking everyone's temperature that comes in, and there are also disinfectant wipes placed throughout the facility so you can triple check that everything's squeaky clean. The YMCA is opening with limited capacity. To see what programs need reservations and to see how the Y is keeping you safe, check out their website, fcymca.org. That's fcymca.org.
You know how exercise keeps your muscles in shape? Well, Hims & Hers wants to help you do the same for your hair, skin, and sexual health and make it as easy as possible, which is why Hims & Hers is now offering their best-selling non-prescription personal care products at select Target stores nationwide. Hims & Hers makes it easy and convenient for you to look and feel your best. Hims & Hers hair care kits are like the yin and yang of healthy hair. The shampoo and conditioner cleans and moisturizes hair from root to tip. And minoxidil is specially formulated for both men and women to help regrow hair. Last but not least are the biotin gummies, vitamins that help support strong hair, skin, and nails. And they taste delicious. Hims & Hers can help you have healthier, thicker hair without a lot of fuss. They're ready to get in the game and help you and your hair win big. Shop Hims & Hers online at Target.com and at select Target stores today.
Our biggest storage event just got stronger. The Store More, Save More event going on now at the Home Depot. Get exclusive HDX black and yellow tough totes starting at just $4.98. They're heavy duty, durable, and come in a range of sizes from 7 to 70 gallons. So whether you need to store a little or store a lot, you're going to save loads. Make room for big savings at the Store More, Save More event. Going on now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Limited time only. Event and dates vary by store. See store for details.
I just tried this wonderful Catalicious Dynavite for cats. She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore.
DINOVITE.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out because I had seen the changes in my dog.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really cool stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community that we get to call home. And today, a neighbor we get to chat with is Michelle, and she is the Executive Director for Operation New Uniform. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Colby, for having me on.
Well, Michelle, we got to chat like probably a year and a half ago just about everything that Operation New Uniform does, but can you kind of unravel who y'all are as an organization?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, it's so funny when you talked about a neighborhood, this neighborhood and this area that we live in is just so welcoming and warm that when we started this 6 years ago, it just flourished pretty much because of the people around that want to help one another. So we help veterans transition out of the military and into the business community. And 6 years ago, my husband and I wanted to scholar a veteran through our sales training. We have a sales, a leadership, and customer care training program. Wanted to scholar a veteran through our program, thinking we'll help them get into sales. And quite frankly, it was a little bit interesting to find that our veteran community does a really good serving in the military part, but they don't have a lot of structure when they're getting out or how to transition out of the military. So they have certain programs, but they don't have a good process to help them sell themselves. And that's where we come in. We help them learn how to better communicate in front of a potential employer or a business owner or just someone who's hiring, or then even opening up their own businesses. That's something that's just not taught from the military that that they're getting freely from, you know, that community, that military community, to the business community.
So as it is stated, you really help them put on a new uniform, like take off their military clothes and put on whether it be a suit and a tie or a visor or an apron. You help them with that transitional period.
Exactly. And it's sweet of you to say that, because most people want to donate suits to us when they hear the title of our company.
Yeah, honestly.
But you hit the nail on the head. It doesn't matter what that new suit is going to be. Mm. It is a mindset. It's really, you know, focuses on what that attitude is from where they were to where they're going to be. That's the transition.
So do you find that a lot of these people who you're helping out have only had one career, and that's been in the military, and that's the only life they've known?
You know, that's a great question. So we serve veterans that have been out for many years. We actually had one Vietnam veteran come through our program in the last 6 years.
Oh,
my
gosh.
He wanted a new family. I don't know if he wanted so much a career, and that's not a norm. We don't normally. Our main focus is those that want a career, not a job, because we help them go to another organization if they want jobs. But if they want a career somewhere where they're going to be for a long period of time, their next place in life, that's where we help them. But some have been out for multiple years and dead-end jobs, not getting paid enough, not knowing their worth, and not even knowing how to ask for either a raise or how to get the career that they really want. So, you know, it depends. It could be months. They could still be active duty and just in their terminal leave part of their transition, or they could be already out and it have been out for many years.
It's so much broader than, I know a guy over here that owns this company and he's hiring, but y'all are equipping them so that they don't just get the job, but they get the whole career that comes with it.
That's right. Yes. Colby, you hit the nail on the head, because once they come through our program, and this is where I think this makes us different than other organizations, is once they walk in this door and they're accepted into our program, they're family for life. So whether they go through one transition in one company when they leave our organization or multiple ones, they know they can always contact us. And, you know, we have alumni resource groups and things that they're touched every single week from us in some way, shape, or form to say, hey, you always have family here. Do you need anything? And we're not the right resource. We're going to get you to the right resource. Constantly communicating with them to know they're not alone.
Michelle, walk me through. Say I'm a veteran that's transitioning out of the military, and I'm looking for a new career, and I don't even know how to begin. What would it look like for me to call you guys, and then what?
Sure. So there's a couple different ways. Being a veteran, if you were saying, you know, in a career search, and I don't know what I'm going to do, I, you know, quite frankly, hear a lot that I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. So one is, and it's true, it's horrible. Some of these people have been, you know, I hate to say middle age, but they're up there in their age because they've served so many years, but they've come out and they've served in such a way that doesn't translate to what a business community may be looking for. So there's a couple different ways. One is to call us directly, and we'll have a conversation, but the best way is to go online to our website, and I can give you that website address, but go online, and as a veteran, there is a button you can click and just fill out the application. And what that does is it'll give you some really thought-provoking questions to see if this is the right program for you, first of all.
Interesting.
And to find out if you have everything you need right now. And if not, we'll contact you regardless to see if we can help you. Again, if we're not the right fit, where we can get you in the community. We collaborate with almost every veteran service organization in town and around the country.
So why, for someone, wouldn't this be the right program?
So this wouldn't be the right program for somebody, and I alluded to it before, that may be just looking for a job. I just need something to fill in some time.
Okay.
You know, it's an hourly thing. I don't care. I don't want to work weekends. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I just want a job, a J-O-B, as we call it. That's not somebody we would probably work with, but we can refer them to other organizations that will help them. Ours is truly the career. Our average salary of a veteran that comes through our program is $65,000.
Oh, my gosh.
It's about $4,000 over the Jacksonville average.
Yeah.
So that's where you're thinking most of them have some type of degree, not all. Some are going for certifications. Some have already had their degrees, and some are in school right now. Some we encourage to go back to school if they're looking for a particular skill set. We have again, resources at all the universities in town that they do as well from some of their GI bills. But we'll guide them if they say, you know what, I never thought about it, because in the military, they don't get an opinion. If they say, you know what, I want to do this, and they go, great, you're going to be an electrician. And it has nothing to do with what they thought they were going to do or wanted to do. So they learn these skills that are not necessarily the ones they want to do for the rest of their lives. So a lot of times they do come out and just go, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up or my next career.
Is that almost more difficult than if they were to say, hey, I do want to be a carpenter? Then you have something to go off of? Or is it kind of a lot of picking and hearing, okay, I hear you're passionate about this and you're really good at this, so why don't we look at this as an option?
Yeah, it's a lot of soul searching. And is one better than the other? Not necessarily. But, you know, the great news is when somebody comes out and says, I want to stick with what I did in the military, this was great, hey, I want to stay in government work, then we know how to help them with their government resume versus a regular resume for a business owner. We help them understand that resumes are not the things that are going to get them their careers, that it's got to be the network. And that's what's so beautiful about Northeast Florida, is everyone is so welcoming and they want to hire veterans. They know their ethics. They know that they're honorable. They know that they're dependable. They know that they're going to work hard. These are people that our companies in town want to hire for many different reasons. So, you know, it has a different effect on everybody, but this is specifically for those that are career minded.
And I really appreciate how when we started, you highlighted and emphasized how great our neighbors have been in the past 6 years. Did you realize it would kind of develop into such a huge community just through your one act of obedience and saying, hey, I want to start this and serve the veterans? And now it seems like everybody's got your back.
That is such a great, funny question, because every day I just sit there and say, Lord, how can I be your hands and feet today? Everything that we have done, my husband and I started our business, the Sandler Training, here in Jacksonville 20 years ago. Man. We had no clue coming from up north, moving down here. We didn't know a soul. And joining the chamber and joining, you know, things with the Business Journal and getting involved in this community. Boy, you talk about a blessing and welcoming back then, you know. And then 6 years ago when ONU was birthed, and not by me, by any means, I cannot take any credit. I'm the executive director and co-founder. But it is truly God saying, this is what you're going to do now, Michelle. And my husband runs the Sandler side now. I totally walked away from that. And we use that Sandler Training curriculum, which is world-renowned, very expensive curriculum, and massaged it with the permission of the owner of Sandler Training in Baltimore. And, you know, with his blessing, he gave us this curriculum to teach our veterans so they can understand how to not sell a product or service, but how to sell themselves and how to be confident and feel so good about who they are, because they've done so much for us. This is really the least we can do for them, is help them understand that their self-worth and their self-image and self-concept is amazing, even without that uniform on.
And
does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. You're equipping them with a true character that they're true characteristics that they're able to step into. And then, like you said, from the get-go, they're able to step into this next career that you've helped them pick out.
Exactly. Some know, like you said, and some don't, and we help both.
Well, again, I have the privilege of chatting with Michelle. She's the executive director for Operation New Uniform. And Michelle, the services that y'all are able to provide to our veterans are incredible. So I want to know, and this is a question I always have, especially with nonprofits and different organizations like that, but how on earth are y'all financially able to do everything that you do?
Finances are probably the trickiest thing. Coming from a for-profit organization to a nonprofit is interesting, but the same. I mean, with a for-profit, you have to find people's hearts and see if there's a need, and see if they have pain, you know, as they say in the Sandler world. You know, if they don't have any pain, they're not going to do anything. In the nonprofit world, when businesses need to hire people, they have a need, so they have that pain, and they want somebody good. And those businesses love, like I said, to hire our veterans. So that part is good. The financial part is tricky, because we don't at all charge our veterans to come through our program, but we also don't charge our businesses to hire our veterans. So if you think about that in a for-profit world, that's a bad business model.
Oh, yeah. It's like rule number one, not to do.
Exactly. Yeah. But again, going back to who's running this thing, it's not me, it's all God. He has put people in our place, and I'm so, so super super blessed to have friends and family and a community that embraced this idea and what we're doing and saw the success. I mean, we have a 97% success rate of our veterans getting careers, not jobs, when they graduate our program. That's crazy. And it's unheard of at that rate, at $65,000 or more of a salary, annual salary. So they see it. The proof is in the results of what we've done. And, you know, people want to get behind that. I think that most people know that, how can I be a part of this as we grow, which is what we're doing. We're going to Tampa next year. We're going to have a live Tampa training in August. So we're going to have our four here locally and then one in Tampa, and still bringing people in virtually. And if you don't mind, Colby, I'm going to just share with you that we have also expanded through this situation that's going on around the country, this thing called COVID, or actually around the world. It forced us to go nationally because we have a graduate from Washington State this year and from San Antonio, Texas, who came in virtual for their full training and graduated, and both have careers.
I like how you use it's forced us, like it's a bad thing, and now all this good that's come out of that.
Amen, sister.
So okay, you already have trainings here, and now you're going to transition into trainings in Tampa also. And you've mentioned the trainings a little bit. What do veterans expect when they go to these trainings and workshops?
Yeah, that I would love for you to have one of our alumni or our director of transition and training on the show so they can tell you, because you know, from my perspective, what we teach is so unique, and most of it, like I said, is the Sandler training system. So we're teaching attitude, behavior, and technique. Mm-hmm. And those first couple of days, we're just getting in their head. We're not teaching them anything about how do I speak in an interview or how do I do this, which they're hearing a lot from other organizations, and they're all good stuff, but they're teaching them technique before they get their head straight. So we have to, in those first couple of days, you know, without giving away the secrets off, but we have to get into their heads. So they call us, you know, the low-paid shrinks here, actually free shrinks at this point, of getting into what's going on in their minds. Why wouldn't they go for something bigger than what they think when they come out? Because most of them downplay their skills. They downplay their experiences because they don't know how to sell themselves.
Man, so when I hear this, I'm kind of thinking of someone in their middle age. Is that common for people who get involved with Operation New Uniform? Is there a specific age?
You know, it's funny. I'll start with it. Is there a specific branch? No. So any branch of the military, including the National Guard, Coast Guards, you know, so Air Force, Marines, Army, Navy, all of them. There's no specific age because we've had some that have served as little as, you know, a year or two to as many as over 30. So every rank in the military just about has been through here. You probably won't see like what they call an E, maybe a one or a two or a lower E level, but, you know, more of the officer levels or the E4s and fives and above that are looking for those careers.
But I think that's really comforting to hear that. That way people can go in knowing, hey, I'm not going to be the first case they've ever seen like me. They've helped other people like me.
Of course. Of course.
But with that, Michelle, is there a common hurdle you see that these veterans are dealing with and you have to consistently help them with one thing?
You know, our veteran population, I'm learning so much, and you probably may know this or may not. I am not a veteran. I didn't serve. This is my way of giving back. I'm not sure why the Lord put me in this position, but it is. And I've learned so much about the military, and they are so confident when they're serving. Mm-hmm. But when they come out, I don't care what level, I don't care what they did in the military, I don't care what their rank was. When they come out, their self-esteem and their self-confidence is dinged.
Serious?
I mean, I truly believe that we have the highest suicide rate around the country because there's a lack of purpose when they come out of the military. I believe that there's so many divorces among military members because of that, I'm not sure what I want to do. I don't know what I want to be. And there's a disconnect there. So there's so much that we can do to help. I think sometimes we can't get to them fast enough. So we have to make sure that they get to the resources. So confidence, I would say, is the biggest thing they lack.
And how do you fill them? But it's hard to teach somebody confidence. they kind of have to learn it on their own. So how do you kind of guide them in that direction?
So there's something that we teach, and it's not the end all and be all, but there's things that we do along the process. But there's one thing in particular that is trained through the Sandler training system, which is called the IR theory. And the IR theory really focuses on separating your identity from your roles. And our roles in life, there's so many that, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm a mom, I'm a sister, I'm a wife, I'm a friend, you know, an employer, and I'm a, you know, name it. I could fill up a chalkboard full of stuff of roles that I play in my life, right? But then I have my identity, which is my self-image and self-esteem and self-concept and self-worth. And those things are all in there. But sometimes our roles start to identify who we are. And if we can help them, and all people, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a veteran or not, all people in general, if we can help people understand that their identity and their roles are two separate things, and it doesn't matter how you perform on your role side, your identity will always be a 10. And a 10 meaning that your self-image, your self-esteem, your self-confidence, self-worth are always good because you don't have those roles telling you who you are. You don't have to go through those gates. You don't have to hear a teacher when you're at school tell you that you're not good enough, or somebody, you know, at your job that this isn't right and you didn't do this right. We take those for some reason, those criticisms and all of that on our identity side. And if we hear enough negative stuff, we're going to believe it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we have to, right? Yeah, it's easy to believe the negative stuff. It's tough to believe the stuff that's good and empowering. So we teach them how to be empowered and have their identity strong. And I love, love, love that we can, because I don't hold back. We don't get any government funding at this point. So I pretty much tell them that, you know, God has created you perfect in his image. And right now, what has changed from that day you were born to today? Why wouldn't you still think you're perfect?
What's their response?
You know, it goes from one extreme to the other, believe it or not. We hear all types of responses, and they're all legit.
Yeah.
You know, our feelings are true because they're our feelings, right? But we also have to know that we have to believe in what God has told us, and he told us that we are his children and that we are made perfect in his image, and that all those other things that the enemy tries to tell us are just lies.
It sounds like you're really helping them unlearn what's been spoken over them. You're like, okay, here's a new fresh spout of truly living water that you can learn from and drink from and grow from.
Perfect. Perfectly said.
Well, Michelle, I want to know, how can we get involved? There's no way that this is a one-woman show. So how can your community come alongside you, even if we're not business owners and maybe we don't even have a lot of money, but we have time and energy? What can we do to help serve Operation New Uniform?
Well, thank you for asking, Colby. I appreciate that. So we have two main fundraisers every year. And one that you already know is our Heroes Gala. We just had it. We had Johnny Joey Jones speaking, who is the gentleman who was a Marine. He's a double amputee. And he spoke. He was incredible at Sawgrass Marriott this year. But we're ready and starting to plan for next year's gala. So that's one of our big events. The other one is our Veterans Cup. And we have the date already set for Friday, April 30th of 2021. And that's a shootout. Ladies and men are all welcome. As a matter of fact, I have a ladies shooting group that's called Bales with Shells.
Oh, I love that.
If any women out there wanted to... If any women like to shoot shotguns and clay targets, come on and join us. But that's April 30th. And coming out there and volunteering or calling us and just seeing where we might have a need. Right now, we have volunteers in the other room stuffing envelopes to help us get out our end-of-year newsletter. So there's so many ways. If you can't do it financially, come just give us a call and see how you can help, you know, to come in the office or to join us in some other way. We really appreciate any way you can be involved. Hiring our veterans is another way. Please don't forget, if you know an employer who's looking to hire amazing, great people, have them call us as well. We want to partner with them. And then companies that want to speak to me directly, that want to partner with an organization that's growing and that's doing just incredible things for our veteran community.
And Michelle, as a company, what does it look like to partner with y'all? Like, say we don't have any open job opportunities, but we still, our company still wants to stand beside you. What would that kind of look like?
Sure. If you're a small company and just want to learn about what we do. I can come in and speak to them. There are some employers have employee match programs that if you want to donate right out of your paycheck, the employer will match that number. So if you give $20 a month, the company will match the $20 a month. And then ONU gets $40, which is amazing. We love those kind of sponsors. Those are called loyalty brigades. Our company ones are veteran committed companies. I meet with them directly and talk to about how we can help get the word out about what they're doing through marketing. We do a lot of social media. We do a lot of other radio and television marketing that we'd love to partner with them on. So there's so many ways. It's just a matter of a conversation with me when it comes to the larger companies and then the individuals. Look at our website. We'd love for you to be a loyalty brigade member at as low as $5 a month, some people do.
You said it, Michelle. There's so many ways to serve, whether it's financially, with our time, with the people we know, with a pat on the back, just all these opportunities. Yeah. So, Michelle, tell us again how we can get a hold of you, how we can get a hold of Operation New Uniform.
Well, there's a couple different ways. One is go to our website, which is www.onuvets.org, or you can call us at 904-328-1600.
And if we're a veteran and we're in need, or we know someone who's a veteran that's in need, what would that process look like for them to get in contact with ONU as well?
Sure. They would go straight to the website as well, or they can call us directly. Best bet is to go on the website, get a little bit of information about who we are, go and apply. Apply online will be your best bet. And then from there, we call every single person that hits our website. We want to make sure that they're taken care of. And in one way, shape, or form, we want to take care of them.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for taking care of our neighborhood and for being such a sweet neighbor.
Thank you, Colby, so much. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio.